Blog Talk Radio.
His name is Malik Zulu Shabazz. Malik Zulu Shabazz.
It is indeed my honor and great joy and privilege to be invited by Brother and Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, who is one of the greatest student leaders of all time.
I'm talking about terrorism now. We want a war on terrorism. The war on terrorism should have started 400 years ago. Bring the flag, brother. Bring the flag.
Bring the flag.
Bring. Because I'm here to tell you that false patriotism will not get you out of this. Holding a bandana flag around your head will not get you out of this. Huh? Flag on your antenna in your car will not get you out of this. You might be saying, God bless America. But when did America ever bless God? You might be saying, God bless America. But God might be damning America at this very hour.
What's all this shit I see on here about harassment and all that bullshit, rap for power? You son of a bitch, get a goddamn job and make a constructive citizen out of yourself and stop all this bullshit. You wouldn't have to have no fucking rally for power. You got that message, motherfucker?
Black power. Black power and more black power to my people. This is your brother, soldier, comrade in arms, and this brother in the battle with you, Sean Kwali. I'm broadcasting live once again to you from the hills and the smells of North America. And as always, we count it a privilege and we count it a blessing. We count it a mighty joy to be talking to you from our radio broadcast. That's right, the New Black Panther Party radio broadcast. Couldn't be nothing else, nothing other than Black Power Radio. And we want to do the right thing and send you an esteemed greeting of peace and blessings and black power from the national chairman of the New Black Panther Party for Self-Defense, the warrior laureate, the bold black man who is leading the charge. He is leading the charge to build a nation of our own, a land of our own for our own people with liberation and salvation for the black nation. I'm talking about doctor and attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz, our national chairman. He sends you greetings of peace and blessings and prosperity and black power to the radio listening audience. And we send the same to all the members and membership of the New Black Panther Party for Self-Defense that is listening in America, in the hills of North America, and in Canada, in the Caribbean, in our motherland, in Africa, and all of our people who are listening, who are members of the New Black Panther Party. We love you and send you black power greetings. And definitely tonight is Monday night. It's lecture night tonight. It's lecture night tonight, and we will be hearing a lecture tonight addressing many of the issues that are going on today. This is a lecture that was given at the National Press Club. It was given at the National Press Club by National Chairman, Dr. and Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz. Before we get into that, we want to give you two major, major announcements on Black Power Radio. Two major announcements. We want to, first of all, for those of you who are close to the New York area, if you are in New York or you're close to New York, you might be in Brooklyn, you might, be in Harlem, you might be wherever you are, in one of the boroughs, if you're closer, even if you're in Jersey, even if you're in Rhode Island, wherever you are, if you're close to New York, or if you can make your way to New York this Wednesday from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m., that's right, the national chairman will be there at the Juice Bar. That's 125th Street, right off of 5th Ave in Harlem, New York. 125th Street, right off of 5th Ave in Harlem, New York, at the Juice Bar. The national chairman will be there. He will be there organizing. He will be there building up a Black Power movement. He'll be there if you're interested in organizing in the new Black Panther Party. He'll be there in putting together an African United Front. He'll be there talking about stopping the gentrification that's happening, especially in New York, talking about what the brothers say, the rent being too damn high, talking about the genocide and black issues and everything that's happening to our people. Come sit down, New York, sit down and talk with your brother, a man who has been on the trail for over 15 years and has not let up at a time when others are not doing this work anymore. People have given up on doing the liberation work for black people. Hell, people have really given up on black people, and we've now taken a stance that black people can't be saved, that black people are irredeemable, that there's no hope for black people, that the black man and woman is just doomed to be destroyed and led astray. And when we reject that notion, I'll say that for real, we reject that notion. At the very least, the prophecies say we're going to get 144,000, but hell, we're trying to beat that prophecy. We want the black nation to unite. We know, and even the enemy knows, that once our people are united around a common cause in the spirit of the Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey, with one God, one aim, and one destiny, then our people can and will be unstoppable. We will be unstoppable, and we are unstoppable. We're just dead to the knowledge of ourselves and dead to our destiny and our culture. And so you be there in New York this Wednesday from 6 to 10 p.m. at the Juice Bar, 125th Street, right off of 5th Avenue, Harlem, New York. And I'm saying that's open to the black nation. That's open to the oppressed. Come and build and African United Front and a Black Power movement. The time is now to do it. You're waiting on revolution, stop waiting. Organize for revolution. And then the second half, we're talking now going down the road, on down into Atlanta, GA. Atlanta, GA on Saturday, December the 18th, the black man is moving. The national chairman, he's going into Atlanta. That's right, Atlanta. Anybody around Atlanta and the surrounding cities and towns and states, get yourselves into Atlanta Saturday on the 18th. We're going to be meeting with organizers and activists all day before he speaks at the Community Survival Summit. He's going to be speaking at the Community Survival Summit. That's going to be a 2001 Martin Luther King Drive, Suite 650. That's 2001 Martin Luther King Drive, Suite 650. If you are serious, Atlanta, if you are serious about organizing, you're serious about building a Black United Front, you're serious about wanting to stop the crime and the violence and the black-on-black crime and violence that's happening in our own community, if you're serious about stopping the prostitution, if you're serious about stopping the miseducation of our youth, if you are serious about wanting to see the banner of the Panther raised again as it was crushed to the ground by old no-good dog-faced J. Edgar Hoover, then you meet us on the 18th in Atlanta, GA, on Martin Luther King Drive, 2001, Suite 650. Suite 650, all right? And you be there. As they say, you be there or be square. For more information, email us at mbpphq@yahoo.com. And that's going to start at 12 o'clock, just for the record. That's going to start at 12 o'clock, 12 noon, right there in Atlanta. So you got New York that's going to pop off at 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. right there on 125th or 5th Ave in Harlem at the Juice Bar. Then you got Atlanta, GA, all right, and that's MLK 2001, Suite 650. That's going to be at 12, so you're going to have a power-packed weekend. The national chairman is moving, man. He's, brothers and sisters, he's moving. He's moving like a general, moving like a black nationalist, a revolutionary black nationalist leader should. He's moving across the country and moving across the globe, and we got to support the movement. It's not just about one man. It's about supporting one cause, one God, one aim, and one destiny. So meet with your brother. Meet with your brother and be in the place and meet with your family. We want to see you in the place. Put your face there. And so with that said, now be sure to join us also next week. Next week, you're coming into another series. It's coming into a men's only series. This will be next week, next Monday night for all the brothers. And this is no slight to the sisters because we're also picking up the all sister series. Now, sometimes the male and the female got to talk. I mean, I'm just saying, sometimes we have to talk. Just the men have to talk about men issues, and our sisters and our queens have to talk about sisters' issues. I don't care how good of a brother you are, dear brother, you don't know what it's like, and I don't know what it's like to be a black woman in the hills of North America or in this world, period, or even a black woman in the Black Power movement. We don't have no idea. And no matter how good you are, sister, no matter how respectful and honorable you are, and we love you for it, you don't know what it's like to be a black man in the hills of North America or a black man in this world, period, or a black man in the Black Power movement. And so the brothers have to talk amongst the brothers. The brothers have to deal with brother issues, and the sisters have to deal with sister issues. And from this dialogue, we will both be better for each other. If you want a good queen, dear brother, then let your sister be guided by sisters who have her best interest at heart. If you want a good man, sister, then let your brother be guided. Let your king be guided by men who have his best interest at heart, huh? And so we're going to talk amongst ourselves. That's going to be next Monday. Next Monday at this same time on Black Power Radio, we're going to talk man to man and woman to woman. And the sister show is going to be this Wednesday. It kicks off this Wednesday at 11 p.m. Okay, so tell your neighbors, tell your friends, 11 p.m. this Wednesday is strictly for the sisters. And Monday will be strictly for the brothers, all right? So no peeking in, sisters, and no peeking in, brothers. And so that's our announcements. And so without further ado, we want to bring on now and go right off into the lecture, the National Press Club lecture that was done in response to September the 11th and the attacks on the World Trade Center and the Pentagon and the attacks on the black community. We're bringing on now the lecture from the national chairman of the new Black Panther Party for Self-Defense, Doctor and Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz, Black Power.
Without further ado, I want to introduce to you the national and international chairman of the new Black Panther Party for Self-Defense. Bring him on with a hearty round of applause, Malik Zulu Shabazz, Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz.
Black power. Black power.
Black power.
Black power.
Black power.
Black power. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. A'udhu billahi min shaitan ar-Rajim. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammad Abdul Rasulu. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Fujin Allah against the accursed Satan. I bear witness that there is none worthy of worship. There is none worthy of worship that Muhammad is the messenger of God. When I bear witness to Muhammad being the messenger of God, I bear witness to Yeshua, Jesus, who was also a worthy servant of the Most High God.
Yeah.
I bear witness to Moses, who was also a servant of the Most High God. I bear witness to Abraham, who was also a faithful servant of the Most High God.
That's right.
I bear witness to Akhenaten, the patriarch of monotheism, a worthy servant of the Most High God. I bear witness to all of those who have been sent to us in the line of divine. But sisters and brothers, as a black man in America, trapped, brought in chains, my ancestors would chop my head off if I didn't come before you tonight and bear witness to Harriet Tubman.
Right.
So I bear witness to Harriet Tubman.
Right.
I bear witness to Sojourner Truth. I bear witness to Nat Turner. I bear witness to Frederick Douglass. I bear witness to Bishop Henry McNeil Turner. I bear witness to the Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey. I bear witness to Noble Drew Ali. I bear witness to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. I bear witness to that bold and courageous leader, Minister Malcolm X, El Hajj Malik Shabazz. I bear witness to his students, whose foundation we stand on. And we would not have the privilege to wear this badge, this uniform, Black Panther Party. So I bear witness that if it were not for those, like Dr. Huey P. Newton, Eldridge Cleaver, Angela Davis, Asada Shakur, Bobby Seale, all of those who went before us and suffered and labored so that we may struggle on in the name of the Black Panther Party. So I bear witness to the original founders of the Black Panther Party. I bear witness to that man, that international revolutionary who worked to unite the oppressed, who has gone on to the ancestors, but his spirit lives on. You knew him in the 1960s as that radical firebrand, Stokely Carmichael. Black Power. He gave us the theme and the ring, Black Power. He went on to be called and named Kwame Ture. But I bear witness to Kwame Ture. I bear witness to Dr. John Henry Clark. We in the new Black Panther Party working on behalf of an international revolution. We bear witness not just to those who were sent to us, but we bear witness to those who have struggled against injustice and tyranny all over the 196,940,000 square miles of the planet. So I bear witness to Ho Chi Minh. I bear witness to Mao Zedong. I bear witness to Kim Il-sung. I bear witness to the Honorable Ayatollah Khomeini. I bear witness to Kamel Nasser. I bear witness to Che Guevara. I bear witness to Fidel Castro. I know these names are going to get me in trouble. But if I live to be 1,000, or the ripe old age of Methuselah, sisters and brothers here tonight, I could never thank God enough for our leader in the new Black Panther Party, who has gone on to the ancestors, but his spirit lives on. I speak of none other than our spiritual and revolutionary leader, a freedom fighter, who fought hard against Zionism, who fought hard and strong against racism, who was uncompromising and could not be found capitulating to the enemy on any day of the week.
That's right.
I speak of none other than this bold and fearless and courageous black man, this international revolutionary whose foundation we stand on, whose legacy we are proud to carry on. So I speak and bear witness none other than to the minister and Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad. Black power. Allahu Akbar. To all of the brothers and sisters who are here tonight at the National Press Club, where it is supposed to be a free exchange of ideas under the First Amendment of the Constitution. Well, you know we're going to test that tonight. To the National Assistant of the new Black Panther Party, that courageous brother fighting on behalf of our people right here in Washington, D.C., laboring and struggling with a courageous spirit, man who I love very much, Brother Amir Muhammad. Let's give him a round of applause. To all of the brothers, my family, my friends, my allies, my comrades, here and all across our 30 chapters throughout America and our chapters throughout the world, in Germany and in Africa, on behalf of the new Black Panther Party for Self-Defense. We're happy to welcome you out here tonight. Happy to be here with a longtime struggler in the community. He's the CEO of Ceasefire, Don't Smoke the Brothers, an uncompromising activist in our community. He's in a wheelchair, but he does the work of 100 men from in a wheelchair. I speak of one of my mentors and one of my allies, Brother Malik Farrakhan. Malik Farrakhan from Ceasefire, Don't Smoke the Brothers.
Right.
To Dr. Marilyn Preston Killingham
right.
from the Republic of New Africa, an international human rights activist fighting strong on behalf of our people. Give her another round of applause. To my dear beloved brother, Imam Akbar Bilal, who always is giving up strong light, strong truth. Let's give him a round of applause. To the Imam of Masjid al-Islam in Washington, D.C., one of the strongest Imams in the city, I'm dare to say anywhere in the country, an uncompromising Imam. You know, they got Uncle Tom Imams these days. Yeah, they do. But he's not an Uncle Tom Imam. He is fearless in fighting in the way of God, fearless in fighting against the forces of tyranny. Imam Abdul Alim Musa, let's give him a strong round of applause. Allahu Akbar. To our beloved brothers from our international family who are here with us, and you will hear from them in a few moments. Don't worry, we got all night. And there's a lot of truth to be revealed tonight. But to Imam Abdel Razak of the IB City Masjid here in Washington, D.C., from Jordan. But he's right here in Washington, D.C., and he's not afraid to come out and stand with us tonight. So let's give him a round of applause. Give him a round of applause. We thank Allah for him. From the Islamic Center, we call him the real Imam. From the Islamic Center. You know, the government is taking over some of these masjids. I'll get back to that in a moment. Imam Mohammed Asi from Syria. Let's give him a round of applause. He has his roots in the Republic of Iran. So I want to tell you tonight, family, I'm so elated. Because when you see the black man and the black woman, the Africans and the descendants of Africa standing side by side with our Arab brothers and sisters. And when you see all of us, Muslims, some non-Muslims, but all of us committed to the liberation struggle, what you are witnessing here tonight is a united front of the oppressed.
Right.
A united front of the oppressed.
Right.
And we are pledging here tonight that we are going to hook up, that we are going to link up, that we are going to fear no God but God.
Yes,
and we are going to stand and challenge the forces of imperialism.
Yes,
we are going to challenge the forces of Zionism.
Yes,
we are going to challenge the forces of racism.
Yes,
we are going to challenge the forces of America,
right.
Israel,
yes.
Britain.
Right.
We are going to stand against their tyranny.
Right.
And we bear witness that we will fear God and God alone.
Yes,
for God alone is who we should fear.
Yes,
when we talk, sisters and brothers, and we come out tonight, September 11th,
yes,
we're not only talking to this audience, but by the grace of God, we're talking to the whole world tonight.
Right.
It's being carried around the whole world. And the world needs to know that everybody in America is not carrying the same line in America.
Yes, sir.
People around the world need to know that all of us are not lining up with Mr. Bush
right.
in this hour. We have to tell Mr. Bush in this hour. We have to tell Mr. Colin Powell in this hour. We have to tell Rumsfeld in this hour. We have to tell Ashcroft in this hour. We have to tell them like Daniel told the wicked rulers in Babylon, Beelzebub and Nebuchadnezzar. He told them in the book of Daniel, he said, Mene tekel ufarsh. He said, thy kingdom has been numbered. Thy kingdom has been weighed in the balance and found wanting and shall soon be divided. When you see the World Trade Center, 110 stories high, said by the builders and the architects that it would last 1,000, 2,000 years. And when you see the Twin Towers up one day, come crashing and tumbling down, you want to know what the hell is going on in America. When you see, when you hear men who will take a box cutters or knives or will sacrifice their lives and get in their airplanes and drive airplanes into buildings and send them buildings tumbling down. You want to know what the hell is going on in America. When you see the Pentagon, the awesome, mighty Pentagon, seemingly impenetrable, seemingly untouchable, when you see the Pentagon struck and when you see America shook up, all of you want to know what the hell is going on in America. When you hear about anthrax, huh? When you hear anthrax shutting down the Congress, shutting down the federal institutions, shutting down the Supreme Court, shutting down the White House, you want to know what the hell is going on in America. Somebody throw soap powder in the hallway, the whole building shut down. You want to know what the hell is going on in America and blaming it on Osama bin Laden is not going to cut it. Huh? Bombing. Bombing. Bombing the innocent people in Afghanistan is not going to solve the problem for America. Bombing innocent people, bombing Muslims, waging a war against Islam. And let us be unequivocal and clear. We see this as a continuing pattern of America, Britain, and Israel's war against Islam and the oppressed people of the earth. Bombing Afghanistan will not solve the problem, Mr. Bush. Bombing Somalia will not solve your problem, Mr. Bush. Bombing the peoples of the earth, Arab, non-Arab, African, will not solve your problem, Mr. Bush, but we're going to try to help you tonight to solve your problem. But whether or not America solves our problem, we must get together tonight to understand how we will survive. What that little black man from Sandersville, Georgia, Elijah Muhammad, called the fall of America. Blaming it on bin Laden is not the problem. Blaming it on bin Laden. World Trade Center blow up. Blame it on bin Laden. Huh? Pentagon attacked. Blame it on bin Laden. Bush. Bush. Slip on some soap in the shower. Blame it on bin Laden. Bush. Mr. Bush, wife, won't sleep with him at night. Blame it on bin Laden. Supreme Court shut down. Blame it on bin Laden. I think that people deserve a better answer than that. There's no one man on the earth that could be this powerful. And while they are blaming it on bin Laden, we are unequivocal to say we don't blame it on bin Laden. We blame it on George Bush. We blame it on Bush. Turn this mic up. Whoever got the mic, they need to turn the microphone up. We blame it on Bush. Bush, since Bush got into office, the whole world is going awry. I blame it on Bush. Since Bush got into office, no one can sleep at night. I blame it on Bush. Since Bush got into office, everything is going crazy. We don't blame it on bin Laden. We blame it on George Bush, the executioner from Texas. Oh, I ask a lot of guidance tonight, but there's no spirit of compromise in the new Black Panther Party. There's no spirit of compromise or weakness in the students of Khalid Abdul Muhammad. We say like we say in our prayers, why Yake Nastain? Be alone.
Right.
Talking about Allah,
right.
One God, thee alone do we serve, thine aid do we beseech for help. We don't blame it on bin Laden, we blame it on Bush.
Right.
But not only do we blame it on Bush, we blame it on his predecessor, Bill Clinton, who bombed Sudan, who bombed innocent Africans in Sudan, bombed and killed innocent people in Sudan, and waged a continuous bombing campaign against the innocent Iraqi people and starved the Iraqi people in Iraq. We blame it on Bush, but we blame it on Bill Clinton as well.
Yes,
not only do we blame it on Bill Clinton, we blame it on Bush Sr.,
yes,
who was a dope dealer.
Right.
Oh, I know what I'm talking about. We blame it on Bush Sr.
Right.
Huh? We blame it on the man who came before him, old warmonger Ronald Wilson Reagan. Huh? We blame it on Jimmy Carter.
Yes,
we blame it on Gerald Ford. We blame it on Richard Tricky Dick Nixon. Huh? We blame it on who Imam Jamil Alameen, H. Rap Brown, call him the camel breath hunky from Texas. We blame it on Lyndon Baines Johnson. We blame it on John the Fox Kennedy. We blame it on Eisenhower. We blame it on Harry Truman.
Right.
Oh, we didn't come to blame the victim tonight.
Right.
We didn't come to blame the victims of imperialism and Zionism and racism. We come to call the terrorists who the terrorist really is.
Right.
And we say to you straight up that the number one terrorist on the face of the planet Earth, the number one and two terrorists right now on the planet Earth are the United States of America and Israel. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. I repeat and I say it with no apologies to the world, the number one and two terrorists with terrorist Tomahawk missiles, cruise missiles, battleships, F-16 airplanes are the United States or the United Snakes? And Israel. You want to know about terrorism? Please, in all due respect, my beloved family, come and talk to the black man and woman of America.
All
right. You want to know about terrorism? Bring it out.
Yes, sir.
Bring it out. You want to know about terrorism? Talk to the children of slaves here in the hells of North America.
Yes, sir.
For we have been terrorized by America. Bring me that flag over here, brother.
Yes,
bring that flag over here.
Yes,
we have been terrorized by America. No, hold it up. Hold that up. Give me a good message. Hold that one. You want to talk about terrorism? Well, I want you to understand, to my brothers and sisters from across the world, our Arab brothers and sisters, you want to know why we say black power,
right,
and why we're into blackness. It is because we have been the victims of terrorism,
right,
for over 400 years that has terrorized us out of our blackness,
right,
stripped us of our culture,
right,
stripped us of our religion,
yes, sir,
stripped us of our name and our God. And when we say black power,
right,
dear Imam, we're trying to get back that which was lost,
right,
when we were brought to America. Some of us were Muslims. Some of us were Hebrews.
Right.
Some of us were indigenous African religions.
Yes, sir.
But we were terrorized out of our God. Terrorized out of our religion. And our mission in the new Black Panther Party is to resurrect and redeem that which has been destroyed by the true terrorists. And our broader mission is to hook up and link up with all of the oppressed people on the earth. But if you want to talk about terrorism,
hold that.
Pardon me, you know, we handle it hard here. But when you want to talk about terrorism, we want to talk about a slave trade.
Right.
We want to talk about a slave trade where 150 million African lives were lost,
yes, sir,
in the slave trade by America and the European powers.
Yes, sir.
And our blood, our bones, our bodies today are at the bottom of the Atlantic Ocean, terrorized by the Americans who brought us in to this country,
yes,
to be burden bearers for them.
Right.
Terrorized. If you want to talk about terrorism, talk to us about Rosewood.
Yes,
talk to us about a town in Florida, a black town where every single black man and woman was wiped out of the entire town.
Yes,
talk to us about the terrorism of black men being hung and lynched,
right,
from trees right here in America.
Right.
Talk to us about black women being raped over and over and over again right here in America. Talk to us about police brutality and being terrorized by being shot in the back, shot down like dogs, over and over and over again. I want you to understand why we have to deal with race.
Yes, sir.
beloved Muslim family,
right,
in America, because we have been terrorized,
right,
yes, sir, by the true racists.
Right.
We want to talk about terrorism. Let's talk about Black Wall Street,
right,
in Oklahoma, where in the early 1900s we had a growing black economic empire,
right,
but American terrorists, white,
right,
people in America, bombed and destroyed Black Wall Street in Oklahoma. I'm talking about terrorism now. We want a war on terrorism. The war on terrorism should have started 400 years ago. Bring the flag, brother. Hold that. Continue to hold that up. Bring the flag.
The rain.
Because I'm here to tell you that false patriotism will not get you out of this. Holding a bandana flag around your head will not get you out of this. Huh? Flag on your antenna in your car will not get you out of this. You might be saying, God bless America. But when did America ever bless God? You might be saying, God bless America. But God might be damning America at this very hour. No one is sleeping in America. Bush is not sleeping in America. Rumsfeld cannot sleep in America. The stock market is crashing in America. America don't look like she looked too good right about now.
Right.
Maybe she needs to seek another path.
Right.
But it looks doubtful that she will.
Mm-hmm.
To us, our family.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about to our brothers and sisters in America. This flag has represented, the red in the flag represents the blood of the black man and woman that drips in the soil of America.
Yeah, right.
The blue represents the waters of the Atlantic Ocean that our ancestors were carried across. And the 50 stars to us only represent 50 different kinds of justice. Not one star like the star in the flag of Islam, but 50 stars, 50 different kinds of justice. This flag to us has represented terrorism. Well, Mr. Shabazz, why don't you go back to Africa? Let me tell you this. With the permission of the red man, the so-called Indian, with the permission of the red man, the so-called Indian, I have a right to say what I say.
Yes, sir.
I have a right to feel how we feel.
Right.
Because our mothers and fathers built this land. Our mothers and fathers built this country.
No.
Our mothers and fathers labored and died here, and I do not have to co-sign onto your wicked agenda as we were brought here by force.
Right.
I have a right to dissent.
Right.
We have a right to dissent.
Right.
So whoever's in charge, turn this mic up, son. We have a right to dissent. When did America ever bless God? When did America ever really try to do right about the indigenous peoples of the planet Earth? Let's talk about the red man, the Indian, who was terrorized,
right,
all the way out of existence in the form of genocide.
Genocide.
Move this back, please. I don't want you to get the wrong idea. I don't want you to get the wrong idea. This is great tonight. This is what Malcolm El-Haj Malik Shabazz was working on.
Yes,
he was working on creating a united front of the oppressed, where Muslims and other oppressed people would get together and support each other and love each other and care for each other and look out for you. And to our Arab brothers and sisters, despite whatever disagreements we have had, we, the New Black Panther Party, have put on this form, not only for us, but out of love for you. Because we don't like what they're doing to you in America. We don't like what they're doing to you around the world. So we stand up for you, not only on our behalf, but on your behalf as well. Let's talk about the red Indian terrorized. 90% of the population of the red Indian driven out of America by George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Benjamin Franklin, slave owners, slave traders, Indian killers. Oh, yeah, the world needs to know. George Washington was a terrorist. Thomas Jefferson was a terrorist. If Osama bin Laden is a terrorist, he got to be the terrorist that terrorism produced. If Osama bin Laden is a hater, he must be the hater that hatred produced. Huh? Let's talk now. Let's take a look at American foreign policy. Don't worry, we got plenty of time. Let's take a look at American foreign policy. And we have to say that September 11th, in our firm opinion, was America reaping the results of her worldwide crimes. But we take it a step further. Not only is America reaping the results of her worldwide crimes, but she's reaping her results. She's reaping her results. I'll get to that. But they are reaping their results of their historical crimes against the very people of God who were brought here to America. So it's a double-pronged sword. And not only for her crimes across the earth, I'm going to get to them. I ain't just talking rhetoric. But for her crimes against our people, we are unabashed in saying at this point in time that what happened on September 11th, like Malcolm said, was a case of the chickens coming home to roost. It could have been foreseen a long time ago. This foreign policy, which is rooted in America's support for Zionism, almost every leader we've heard has been afraid to take up and deal with Zionism head on. But we say it to the world, and we hope this message reaches right over there to so-called Israel. The head of Israel, Ariel Sharon, he is a madman. He is a murderer. He is a terrorist. I said Sharon is a terrorist. And the state of Israel has terrorized the Palestinians and the people of that land ever since 1948. A terrorist state was set up called Israel. It's really Palestine. It's the so-called state of Israel. Set up terrorizing the Palestinians since 1948. We have never wept. Talking about you and the American public, you have never wept a tear for the Palestinians. Palestinians, babies, men, women, children, dying in Palestine, shot down with the help of America. America and Israel, inseparable in the Zionist partnership. Gunning down, killing the Palestinians. Oh, it's just another day. Oh, just 500 Palestinians killed. Oh, Israel steals some more land. Israel takes some more land. The state of Israel is a colonial state. State of Israel is an imperialist state, and we agree with the United Nations resolution that was passed in the 80s and that was reaffirmed again in Durban, South Africa, that Zionism is racism. Zionism is racism. Zionism is imperialism. Zionism is colonialism. And Zionism and support for Zionism, support for Israel, is the root of why so many were killed on September 11th. And to all people in America, regardless to who you are, you must understand that the government of America has lied to the American public.
Yes, right.
The government of America has lied to you. Yes, and by lying to you, they have put your lives at risk. They have committed acts of murder based on money and oil and other wicked interests and have lied to the public and thereby put the average American citizen at risk. So going along and waving the flag and going along with what the government is saying is not necessarily in your best interest. Even if you don't like what we're saying, America, you need to take a clear listen to what we're saying, because what we're saying tonight may help you to save your life. You need to take a different message to Mr. Bush, the support for Zionism, the support for Israel, the support for the persecution and the destruction of the Palestinians must end. If there is to be peace on the earth, no true Jew can be a Zionist. I'm going to say that again. No true Jew, no true believer in the Torah can be a Zionist, because Zionism is against the very principles of Almighty God as revealed through his prophet. Now, let's go on to Iraq. But before we go to Iraq, we got to make a point. The reason why everyone's so afraid of saying this, and we have to make it plain that the Zionists control America, lock, stock, and barrel. Oh, yeah. The Zionists control America. The European Jews have America under their control, lock, stock, and barrel. The media, foreign policy. Let me go to Iraq as I bring this to a conclusion. 1.5 million Iraqis killed over the last decade. Who weeps for them? Who weeps for us?
You can put them down now.
Who weeps for them? Let's give them a round of applause. Who weeps for them? Iraqi babies, 500,000 dead, starved by a policy that was not based on any rational foreign policy by America, but the foreign policy was based on oil and based on dominating oil interests in the Persian Gulf. It is correct. Saddam Hussein lined up with America against his brothers and sisters in Iran, and he was wrong for that. And he was sucker punched. Yes, he was. He was sucker punched in the Gulf War. He made his mistake. He lost the Gulf War. He paid for his mistake, even though Kuwait is originally part of Iraq. Even though. But what has gone on in the last 10 years is completely unjustified by any sane, ethical thinking human being. And you take a man's country and you tell him you cannot fly planes in your own country for 10 years. Huh? You tell the man you cannot fly planes in your own country, and you rain bombs on his people for 10 years, and you expect the peoples of the earth to lay back and ignore that? We say to America, in all humility, do not expect everyone else on the earth to take their oppression the way the black man and woman in America have taken their oppression. Do not expect everyone across the earth to lay down and beg and plead for justice when you shoot them in the back and bomb them the way some of us in America have done. For the very Bible says, as thou hast done, so shall it be done unto you. And as you have taken our blood, this is the Bible talking, you shall be given your own blood to drink like water, starving the Iraqis, and continuing this lie about weapons of mass destruction when the largest storage of anthrax,
right,
the largest storage of chemical and biological weapons rests with the United States and Israel.
Right.
Hmm? Foreign policy, Saudi Arabia, the Caspian Sea, seeking the oil in the Caspian Sea, the Persian Gulf, amassing American troops in Saudi Arabia. Have you ever considered how the Muslims feel about that? Have you ever considered, have you ever taken into account, Mr. Bush, how the Muslims feel about that? Bombing Afghanistan is not going to get you out of that. Bombing the Muslims is only producing more Muslims who have an intense hatred, not just to hate America for the sake of hating America, but they hate the injustice and the tyranny that is being poured on them by America and Israel. We are advising all our brothers and sisters not to line up with this war, and don't sacrifice your black bodies. Do not sacrifice your bodies, whoever you are, going over there dying in Afghanistan. And it is very clear that it's staying for a long haul in Afghanistan. You can send all the cruise missiles you want to. You can send all the Tomahawk missiles you want to. You can send all the little satellite imagery photos. You see, this was it. It was here. This was the bunker. And you see, after that, it's gone. That's not working. That's not working in Afghanistan. It looked to me like the Taliban are holding on. And I don't remember the Taliban calling me a nigger anytime recently. Huh? Oh, we got to tell the truth here tonight. Don't line up with this war. Don't sacrifice your body going over there to fight a war that is for oil and for control over another people's land and country. If you want to take a stand today, take a stand for world peace. Take a stand for the end of economic tyranny, economic imperialism. Take a stand against this new global economic order that is seeking to permanently impoverish the black and the brown in favor of a white European hegemony. That's what we should take a stand for. In my conclusion, we're in a time of prophecy. All imams, and we invite the imams, the learned imams, the ulama in the audience. Don't be afraid to take a look in this Bible. The Quran says to believe in that which was revealed unto thee. And the Quran being the final revelation or the criterion. But this Bible is full of prophecies that relate to America. And despite your disagreements, don't discard the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Because he made a lot of prophetic calculations that are precisely on time for this day and time. And whether you know it or not, in Revelations, I'm going to close with this, but everybody needs to hear this. Mr. Bush needs to hear this. The Christian scholars need to hear this. Revelations 18th chapter says, and I saw these things. I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice come from heaven saying, come out of her. Says, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. When you see anthrax sweeping America, you're looking at a plague in America. And the book of Exodus talks about the fifth plague in Exodus, where all of the cattle died in Egypt. And then there was a sixth plague when all of the people died from touching the cattle. And our interpretation today is that the cattle is the male in America. And even though the mail is intended for Daschle, even though the mail is intended for Dan Rather, Tom Brokaw, Mr. Bush, it's Daniel and Shadrach and the children of slaves that got to handle the mail. And so it's killing us as it is sent to and to kill those who it is sent for. So we've been warned to come out of her. We've been warned, Brother Malik, to come out of her, but we have refused to come out of her. Now the plagues are coming down on America, and we're being caught with the plagues coming down on America. The Revelation 18:6 says, reward her even as she has rewarded you, and double unto her. I'm scared of that. Double unto her according to her works in the cup which she hath filled to her double. How much has she glorified in herself? How much has she glorified in herself? We are the greatest, most powerful country that has ever existed. When did you ever preface that? By saying, inshallah. When have you ever prefaced that by giving glory to God? No, you got your chest stuck out. Revelations 18:7 say, how much has she glorified in herself and lived deliciously? So much torment and sorrow give her, for she hath saith in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow and shall see no sorrow. She could say that yesterday. I said, a queen, am no widow, shall see no sorrow. She didn't care. No one had sympathy for the Japanese when 250,000 Japanese were vaporized. All of them innocent civilians, all so what? But today, it has come to America. Therefore, her plagues shall come. It says, Revelations 18:8. Therefore, shall her plagues come in one day, and death, mourning, and famine shall she be utterly burned with fire. For strong is the Lord God who judges her. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning. They say they shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning. That's September 11th all the way. Standing off afar for the fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment. according to the scriptures, and we can't back away from it. We are living in a modern Babylon, but that Babylon was brought down by Almighty God. It did not last forever. We're living in a modern Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yes,
Sodom and Gomorrah is mighty, but the Almighty Lord God brought her down with fire and brimstone. You talk about, as it gives it in the Bible, ancient Egypt, powerful and mighty, but Almighty God brought her down through her servant Moses and through chastisement for the sins she had committed. You talk about ancient Rome, and they said the Roman Empire would never end, but ancient Rome was brought to an end. They said the sun would never set on the British Empire, that it stretched all across the earth, but the sun set on the British Empire. Well, that day has come. Submission to the will of God. And that is the only way today. We all have to get right. We got to get right. If there's any hope for America, she has to get right. But we say in conclusion, we have to survive the fall of America. The Quran say, oh, you who believe, keep your duty to your Lord. Oh, you who believe, keep your duty to your Lord. If Mr. Bush is your Lord, keep your duty to him. If Almighty God Allah is your Lord, keep your duty to him. Thank you very much. We want you to hold fast. We got very special guests that's going to give us another perspective. What we need to do right now is quickly, we're going to open up for questions after we hear words from our imams. We got to build until 11:30.
Yes, sir.
We need you all to help us defray these expenses. I'm not going to go through $100, and who will give us $500? Because we're on a national, worldwide broadcast, and I don't want to go through all of that. I'm just telling you know how much it costs to rent this fine facility and do this work. So we're asking to just help us raise some money. We need some hundreds, some thousands. We need some money, not just only to defray these expenses. We need zakat to defray these expenses. But we just need finances to help build this movement. You know, with this kind of message, this kind of unity, that we're not sponsored by anybody but Almighty God and the people. So quickly, move in position. We will pass the buckets around. If you want to make checks out to NBPP, but we do need hundreds, thousands, we need whatever we can get, 50s, 20s, all zakat is appreciated. So quickly now, let us move into place in a few moments. Let us pass it, move down every aisle right now. And everyone, please, let's go to every person. And everyone, please, right now, please, chip in. Help us defray these expenses and these costs. Every row, gentlemen, every person, please help us chip in. Give us a cot. Your charity is appreciated. When we opened up, we forgot to acknowledge also we have the enemy in here as well. I see some of you out there with your stone faces, stone face out in the audience, sent in here. Well, God is sufficient. Come on by the table here in front, please. Brother Kumasi, come on by the table here in the front. Let's take it down. There's a sister in the back. People in the back who have not given. Quickly now. How y'all feeling? Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. There are two sisters in the back. Anybody that has not given, put your hand up, please. Anybody that has not given, put your hand up so we can reach you. In the back, in the back. Brother Carlos, in the back, sir. All right. All praise is due to Allah. All praise is due to Allah. Let us now. And I know you got plenty of questions. Any question you got, we ready to deal with it tonight. We want to bring on a strong imam. Did you know that the government has literally taken over some masjids in America? And I've gone to some masjids for Juma and seen the government in uniform delivering the kutbahs. Government literally delivering the kutbah in the masjid. And we want to send this message out to the world that all of the ulama, all of the Muslim clerics are not with this line that is going on in America. And we have gentlemen here who are not afraid to stand up on truth, who are not afraid. So, without any further delay, gentlemen who I've had the company and the pleasure of recently meeting, he's from the East, his roots are in Syria. No, pardon me. Yes. His roots are in Syria. We call him the true Imam of the Islamic Center. That's what I said. He's bold and uncompromising. Let's hear from Imam Muhammad Asi. Imam Muhammad Asi.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم In the name of Allah Our source of refuge Our source of confidence And our source of strength I greet you with the salutations of peace Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I know it's getting a little late. Before I begin something like an abbreviated presentation, I would like to thank the chairman of this session, the brothers and the sisters who put their minds together and put their efforts together and made it possible for us to be here this evening. And I thank you personally for coming this evening and participating in going against the current. There's a strong current out there that wants to convince us with a barrage of lies saying to us that the United States in the world is on the side of rooting out terrorism. Let me begin by saying that there has been an infiltration of our own minds before there was a military infiltration of our own lands. And part of this process is continuing, and it peaks and climaxes at times like this, when the United States military now is gung-ho. There's an atmosphere of chauvinism and jingoism. They are telling us they want to reverse what has been accomplished throughout all of these years in as far as political rights are concerned and civic rights and even natural rights, because there's a sense now that security is the central issue, and in the name of security, they are willing to curtail the freedoms that we have as if, you know, we've had a lot of freedoms anyways. But with whatever freedom there is, they want that also to go, and And they want us to look at ourselves and create enemies out of our own selves. Who are they thinking? Who do they think they are dropping these bombs on? Now, before I get to that, I would like to say that there is an engineered amount of information that is put out to you and to me to convince us with the choice of the words that they use that anyone who is willing to stand up for self-determination and anyone who is willing to have enough confidence to see to it that at the end of the day, justice will be done. Whatever means are going to be used for this purpose, that person or that quarter or that source or that organization or that country or that leadership are terrorists. But those who are stifling self-determination in the world, and first and foremost are the twin evils in this world, the decision makers in Washington and the decision makers in Tel Aviv. These are the twin evils that have a hydra in this world, and they are acting with poison in our countries, in our communities, and in our minds. And when they go out and drop bombs like they did in Hiroshima and in Nagasaki, they are the ones who brought into the human race the concepts of world wars. Before, Europe was the pace setter of political and economic affairs in the world, humanity did not know world wars. All of a sudden, when Europe gained the pace-setting position in the world, we had two world wars, and it cost humanity hundreds of millions of lives. And we dare not think that those who are responsible for this are terrorists. Because we are fed with information that is calibrated to exclude us from taking an offensive mental position towards their aggression against us. Follow. I know it's getting late, but I just beg for your attention in the 20 or 15 minutes that we have. Now, what do we ask these people, these loud mouths? You know, we are individuals, but we have the truth. When you have the truth, you're not weak. When you have the truth, Allah is on your side. So because they perceive that they have all of this military power, then they are going to think we're going to feel exposed, we are going to feel vulnerable, and we're going to feel weak. We don't feel like that. They're telling us, Osama bin Laden and Al-Qaeda and these other Muslims in Taliban in Afghanistan are running for cover. Because there's B-52 bombers, there's F-15s and Tomahawks and F-16s and the rest of these military gadgets in the skies over Afghanistan. And you can understand when danger is coming your way, of course, you try to protect yourself. But we ask them, are there any Tomahawks, any B-52 bombers flying over Washington? Are there any military gadgets in the skies of the capital, of capitalism and democracy in the world? No. Why is Dick Cheney hiding? We want to know. That is on one level. On the other level, they want to insult our intelligence. True, they have all the media that there is in the world, and they play it up night and day, And if they repeat a lie for a million times, everyone would think that this is the correct information. And if we don't, if had we not the anchor, the Quran that Allah has given us, in which we can see a beginning and an end to what they are doing, their tricks, their charades, their gangsterism, if we had not the possession of this Quran, they would take us on their destiny of events. But no, we tell them, you're not going to take us in your direction. We have matured, and you have been recruiting. You don't want to do this, and we thank God, our Creator and your Creator, that you have lost touch with reality. Your policies of aggression, your policies of warfare against us, ever since you fabricated the racist state of Israel in our holy land, you have caused that intrusion to recruit millions of Muslims in the world against you. And all the policies that you sink into Africa and to Asia and the southern hemisphere of this world, all the policies that you have and you've had going for you for the past 50 years and 100 years have been recruiting Muslims against you. In Iraq, in Libya, in Sudan, in the Holy Land, throughout Africa, throughout Asia, these are recruits that now you're going to have to come to contact with, and the day of reckoning is approaching. On another level, you tell us that Muslims, and not any Muslims, because those Muslims who decorate themselves with some rituals and some mosque going, just like you go to church on Sundays, you want Muslims to go to the mosque on Fridays. These types of conventional Muslims, they are fine and dandy in your eyes. But the Muslims who want to think of what Allah is telling them, these are the Muslims that you don't like. Why? Because a thinking Muslim is not someone you're going to reconcile your injustice to. And so these Muslims who are out there in the world seeking self-determination, Muslims who want American military bases out of the Holy Land, Muslims who want the Israeli military base out of Jerusalem and its surrounding areas. Have you ever asked in all of your rhetoric about democracy, have you ever presented this issue about elections in the Muslim world to the public? No. Why? Because you know with the information you collect from your informers, and we know out of 100 or 200, there's 1% that are always around. And you who are around, you can go back to your masters with this information and have them scratch their heads. Go and tell them that when you speak about democracy and electoral freedoms and running for office and political freedoms, when you speak about all of that, why don't you speak about that in the Islamic part of the world? You mean to tell us, or you think we're not thinking, you think we're absentee Muslims? Those are gone. Those are relics. They belong in the museum now. You're no longer dealing with the leftovers of history. This is a new breed of Muslims in the world. And if you want to come and say to us that Muslims are responsible for ramming a few planes into vital American interests, the World Trade Center in New York, the Pentagon here in Washington, we tell you, we have enough reason to believe that those who were macro-managing these events are the Israeli Zionist Jews. And let me tell these people who are beyond us here in this immediate audience, let me tell them why we think like this. And we're thinking. We're watching what you're saying. We're tuned in. But we're not deceived by your lies. We are not misled by your propaganda. We tell you to answer these questions that you have, that we have. Number one, why were people in the days leading to September 11th, people up there on Wall Street, why were they frantically selling the airline shares and the insurance shares that they had? They wanted to get rid of those. They knew exactly. They knew something was going to happen, so they were dumping their shares. Take it. We don't want it anymore because there's no profit in it after September 11th. That's number one. Number two, Ariel Sharon, that butcher of Beirut, the number one terrorist in the world. His hands and his conscience are soaked neck high with the blood of innocent children and women and Muslims. In where of all the world? In the Holy Land. This person was supposed to come to the United States on September 11th. And he didn't make his appearance here. Could you explain to us why he didn't come here? Did he know something the rest of us did not know? Number three, and we want answers. You hear us? If you have your Zionist, Israeli, Jewish academics and experts and learned individuals and strategists and politicians and pundits and commentators who have fed us with all of the poison that is circulating in the public today, go to them and ask them these questions. Why? There's 4,000 to 5,000 Israeli Jews who are supposed to be in those two buildings on September 11th. And these planes rammed and brought these two buildings down, and after the dust settles,
they come back to work.
We ask, how many of these 4,000 to 5,000 were killed in this tragedy? And they can only confirm there was one death and 3 or 4 who were injured. Did they know something we didn't know? And if they did, we want answers. Why didn't they go to work? And then they come and say, no, this is propaganda. The Arabic press is building up this whole issue against the Jews. Okay, we say put the Arabic press on the side for the moment. Okay, let's come and use our common sense here. How many Jews live in New York? Let's give them the benefit of the doubt. Let's say there's only 10% of that population in New York that is a Jewish population, okay? How, out of the 10%, let's say an equal amount of, a correspondingly equal amount of individuals were employed in those two buildings. And we know that this upper class white collar jobs that were in the World Trade Centers, more than 10% of that belonged to them. But let's give them once again the benefit of the doubt. So by your own confession, there's 50,000 employees in those two buildings. And 10%. Simple mathematics. One-tenth of 50,000 is how much? 5,000. Where were those 5,000?
And why are you covering up these facts? Why aren't you bringing these facts to our attention and to the attention of the general public? Because you know we're going to begin to think. And if we begin to think, we're going to begin to discover who the criminals are. And so, to abort us from thinking, to have us sheepishly towing their lines, they have occupied our messages. So you go there on Friday, and you're put to sleep by the sermon that is given to you, because no one wants to speak about these issues from the Quranic perspective, from the Islamic perspective, from the scriptural perspective. No, they don't want you to think. They don't want you to mature. And Allah says, Al-Quran is for people who think. لِقَوْمٍ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ It's not for sheepish minds. It is not for sheepish behavior. It is not for ostriches who bury their heads in the sand. Now they tell us, 5,000 people, and now we know who's behind all of this. At least we have a very good, a healthy understanding who's behind all of this. Because the Israeli Zionist Jews in occupied Palestine, they have been feeling insecure for the past year and a half since the beginning of the Intifada. They have felt very insecure, and they came just like the crybabies that they are. They came to their masters here in the United States and said, look, we have no security. You have to protect us. You have to put an end to this Intifada. And then the United States officials here, from the White House on down, they begin to play politics. And they don't know that you don't play politics with these types. They say, oh, you're trying to play politics with us, huh? We'll show you. If we're going to feel insecure, you're also going to feel insecure. And they brought the insecurity that they're feeling because of people who are throwing stones. What made this Jewish Israeli Zionist insecure? The little stone in the hand of a little Palestinian child who goes up to a tank and begins to throw his stones at this tank. And after 21 days, the Israeli soldier in that tank couldn't take it any longer. He stands outside of his tank and he takes aim at the 12-year-old Palestinian child with a stone in his hand, and he shoots and he kills him because he's insecure. Now, if the United States is not infected with Israeli insecurity after September 11th, now the Israelis have scored. And now George Bush is speaking the language of Ariel Sharon. 10-15 years ago, Yitzhak Rabin was killed by one of his own, assassinated by one of his own. His successor, Shimon Peres, and after that, Netanyahu, and then after him, Sharon. All of them were going all around the world telling the heads of state, we need an international alliance against terrorism, against terrorists. And what they mean by that is against Muslims want self-determination. That's a euphemism. They cloak their intention with that word. They want self-determination, and so they call them terrorists, and they go around the world hopping from one capital to the next, and they couldn't put together this alliance. Come September 11th, with a grand strike against this New York and Washington, and now you have the countries in the world who have been themselves asking the United States to put itself in the middle of this war against Islamic self-determination. Let's look at it in another way. Let's be very practical and down to earth. The French are fighting Muslims of self-determination in Algeria. Them and their proxies.
The Russians are fighting Islamic self-determination in the Caucasus and in Chechnya. The Indian government is fighting Islamic self-determination in Kashmir. The Chinese government is having a problem with Islamic self-determination in Xinjiang. So all of these, at the end of the day, said, look, we've been fighting them for all of these years. We need the United States to enter into this grand strategy against Islamic self-determination in the world. And the United States was hesitant because it knew what it's going to be involved in if it takes a step in that direction. So what better to drum up support for the United States recruitment for the Israeli Zionist cause than September 11th? And come September 11th, and we have all of this patriotic talk that is sweeping the minds of everyone. For what? To go and kill innocent Muslims in a forsaken land of Afghanistan. What are they going to do in Afghanistan? Bomb it back to the Stone Age? It's already in the Stone Age. What are they going to do? Fight and kill at military fields? There are no military fields, no military air bases, no military ground bases, no military naval bases, no military bases at all in that country. What have they been doing in the past 3 weeks? Dropping bombs on a no man's land. And what are they doing? Killing innocent people in the process. They don't want to face up to that. 1,500 or so have been killed after 3 weeks. Twice they bombed. United States bombers bombed the Red Cross. Not to speak about them bombing civilians, not to speak about them bombing innocent people, not to speak about them dropping bombs on in the middle of cities. All of that has occurred. What do they want? They're picking. I don't know if they know it, but in their zeal to satisfy their Zionist Israeli masters now, they're picking a fight with a people who have been hardened by war in the past 20 years. These have been fighting an active war for the past 20 years. These are not people who are living on Snickers and Baby Ruth and Three Musketeers. These are not going to get diarrhea the second day after they land in Afghanistan. These American troops, if they're going to place a significant force in Afghanistan, then they'll know what they are up against. This is not to say, as some individuals may take it, that this is an endorsement of the rulers in Kandahar or in Kabul, because these rulers have been, in an indirect way, sponsored by the United States, because the governments of Pakistan and Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates that are clients of the United States in the Middle East, these are the only governments who recognize these rulers in Kandahar and in Kabul. But to the general public, no one's going to understand that. No one will ever think that Turgut Özal, the Prime Minister of Turkey, was killed in a plane crash because of Afghanistan. No one's going to make the connection that ضياء الحق, who was also the President of Pakistan, was killed in a plane crash. And the American ambassador to Pakistan was on the same plane. They don't kill dirty. They kill dirty. I'm constricted here by time, but let me wind down by an ayah from the Quran. Allah, the source of glory and the source of strength, says, وَإِذَا أَرَدْنَا أَن نُهْلِكَ قَرْيَةً أَمَّرْنَا مُتْرَفِيهَا فَفَسَقُوا فِيهَا فَحَقَّ عَلَيْهَا الْقَوْلُ فَدَمَّرْنَاهَا تَدْمِيرًا. In Surah Al-Isra, 17th chapter of the Quran, there's an ayah which, adapting its meanings into English, means if we want to destroy a social order, we combine the ruling class with the rich class. they become indistinguishable. Amarna mutrafiha. What do they do after that? They cause social disintegration in that social unity, which is what is happening in front of our own eyes here in the United States. And then what happens after that? Then Allah's word taxes them. And what happens after that? They are obliterated. The United States policymakers, decision makers, and strategists have fulfilled the meanings of this ayah. If they continue in their course of aggression and warfare against Islamic self-determination in the world and by the Israeli line and propaganda that we are terrorists, they can't distinguish between self-determination and a terrorist, they are on their way to obliteration. And Allah has spoken the truth. I thank you for your patience with me this evening. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Wa la udwana illa ala al-zalimin.
Come on, you can do better than that. You can do better than that. Y'all hang in here with us. What better do you have to do than this tonight? Where else can you hear live and uncensored the pure, unadulterated truth? Hang in here. And please, sign the sign-in list so that we may get with you to get you the tape and contact you about further events and movements for the truth. It's been a great evening, and we still got more to go.
Yes, sir.
Question, get your questions ready. That's all right. We got you. We got, so as soon as we hear from the imam, you have your chance. That microphone is for you. That one right there. Yes, sir. Just hold tight. I don't want everybody to run for the line, but as soon as the imam, so we got some more. As soon as he finishes, don't worry. We got the building. That First Amendment, boy. It's a... We're going to test the limits of it.
Right.
God is the greatest. God is the greatest for this evening. Love all of you. Now, from the Ivy City Masjid. His masjid, his mosque is right in the hills and the ghettos of North America. Right in the urban area. And he's standing up strong for truth. He's standing up strong for the oppressed. He's standing up strong for Islam. I love his spirit. I love his courage. His roots are in Jordan. From the Ivy City Masjid here in Washington, D.C., Imam Abdel Razak al-Raqqa. Let's bring him on.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Inna alhamdulillah. نحمده ونستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فهو المهتد ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala We glorify Him We depend on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all our matters And we seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from Satan. And we seek refuge in Allah from our wicked deeds. And we bear witness, there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, 1400 years ago, he was the seal of all prophets. After Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there will be no prophets. His message was complete. And he conveyed it. And we are Muslims following the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam with his guidance. The only guidance remains in this earth or in this whole entire universe that will take you to safety and mercy, that will take you to paradise. There is only one path, which is to follow the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. in everything he brought. We have clear guidance. There is no secrets in this religion. You can open the Quran, and through the Quran you will understand the Old Testament, the New Testament, and all the books that preceded the Quran. Because it's a combination of all these books, and it's called the final revelation. We've been tested in this environment. And we've been tested, and God knows how long the test will remain. Our faith been tested, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his way to test people is this way. It's either Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put them through poverty, or cause them to get ill, or cause them to lose their family members, or cause them to be insecure by an enemy attacks them. So when all these catastrophe happens, that's when the true believer arise, and they have full confidence, and they fear nothing but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran clearly, فَلَا تَخَافُوهُمْ وَخَافُونِي إِن كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ. Fear them not. Do not fear the enemy. Fear me, Allah, if you are a true believer. Because if you're not a believer, you're going to fear everything. You're going to fear the bombs. You're going to fear, even you're going to fear the environment. You know why people worship the suns and the moons and the mountains and the trees? Because they fear them. A person who does not fear Allah, he fears everything. He feels like unsafe. So to come to a complete security with yourself and with the environment and with the people is to fear Allah and to serve Allah only. Because like my brothers, they preceded me with beautiful information that I can't say it any better than they did, that we are individuals. And as long as you hold into the truth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with you with his protection and his guidance. We can see the nature of our religion. How did our religion start? With the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that his own tribe turned against him. They kicked him out of his own town. He was chased. They put sanction against him for 3 years in the ditch of Mecca. They want his head. They want him killed. 3 years. And they were protecting him, his family, and the sanction lasted 3 years. That made the people go eat anything they can find, including the leaves of the trees. There is nothing to eat. The fear and the Arab's fear was great. Our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he went to Medina, when you read about the Battle of the Ditch, when Medina was surrounded by 12,000 fighters, they want to eliminate the religion from its roots. They want to kill the Prophet. They want to kill all the Muslims. And they are surrounded completely. And they were there, digging the ditch, trying to protect the religion and trying to protect the Medina and trying to fight for all of us. And they did. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just to bring you the good news, no matter how strong the enemy might be, Allah clearly said in the Quran, هُوَ الَّذِي أَرْسَلَ رَسُولَهُ بِالْهُدَى وَدِينَ الْحَقِّ لِيُظْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّهِ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْكَافِرُونَ. That means this religion will prevail all over the religion. There are still some more religion coming. You know, when you go to the library and you pick up the book of religions, you will hear about religions that you never heard of. So religion is still coming. People now worshiping Satan, and people worshiping so many strange things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, this religion will prevail over all religions. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in one hadith that this religion will enter every single house, whether it's made out of bricks or wool or whatever. This religion will enter every single house. So it's guarantee from Allah and protection from Allah that this religion will prevail. Because this religion is the religion of fitrah, the nature of man. You will never be happy until you submit to Islam. I ask my brothers and sisters who were born here, and after they embrace Islam and they go on with it, they come to me and they say, wallahi, this is the first time I really start to enjoy life. Because I feel good. Physically, I feel good. Mentally, I feel good. I feel I'm free. Because Islam purifies the soul. Purify your relationship. Purify your family, household. Purify your environment. It makes you feel that you are with God, protecting you. Protecting, you don't need all these kind of protection to just to live. When you become a Muslim, you feel secure. Because when we say Salaamu Alaikum to a brother or a sister, we're telling them that peace be upon you. I am not going to harm you. And the strongest bond you can really make between people is the bond of Allah and the bond of religion. Because brotherhood in Islam is the strongest bond that can make people actually feel for each other and develop brotherhoods. We're not trying here to unite people in color or race or anything. Because the nature of our religion is to unite people on La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. The brother in Afghanistan been hit and the brother in Indonesia are crying. What's the relationship between a country is so far away from each other? But because it's one nation, they feel the pain. Because they are one nation and one religion and one feeling and one goal, they feel the pain wherever it might be. So my perspective, with conclusion to what my brothers have preceded me, is to tell you one thing. Fearing other than Allah is haram. To fear other than Allah, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَلَا تَخَافُوهُمْ. This is nahi, yani don't fear them. It's a command from Allah. Do not fear them, but fear me. If you fear Allah, you're not going to fear anything. So, be proud of what you are, Muslim, and raise your head up, and remember the hadith of Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. If the whole entire world gathered together, trying to harm you with something, they will never be able to do so without the permission of Allah. And if the whole entire earth trying to gather together, trying to benefit you, they will never be able to do so without the permission of Allah. So this is the aqidah, the creed of the Muslim. That my life and my sustenance, my time, my planning, it is all already decreed by Allah. I am not going to die before my time. And everything is in the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So do not fear anything. And by the way, this religion is a religion of mercy. Many people think our Muslim are terrorists, or Muslim are people who just like bloodies. They like bloodshed and things like that. We tell them that is not true. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says clearly in the Quran, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. We only send you, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as a mercy to mankind. Because you find the mercy in every part of our religion. Mercy. You go to a Muslim household, if they follow in Islam, the mother pray, the children praying, the father, he does not bring any evil to the house, no drinking, no womanizing. You see the whole family love each other. No matter how poor they are, they deal with poverty, they deal with things. And you will find these family are enjoying life and carrying on with as little as they have or as much as they have. If they fear Allah, Islam brings them that kind of atmosphere. And you see in your relationship with people, you based it, you are my friend based on religion. I'm not your friend because you are from my country or you are my color or you are my... Because this is what Islam produces. It's mercy. Everything you want to do in life, if you come to the guidance of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and close your eyes and say what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say and you follow, you will never go wrong. You don't have to examine everything to say, let me see, does this religion really tell the truth or not? Follow. Just follow. And you can use your mind if you want, but let's say you don't want to use your mind. Just say what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said about a matter and do it. And you will always be on top. You will always be correct. Because this religion teaches us from going to the bathroom, to going to the masjid, to sleeping with our wives, to deal with money, to deal with politics, to deal with the economy. Everything is laid out clear. How to deal with every environment. Because this guidance, or this sharia of Islam, it is a sharia that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made to last until the day of Yawm al-Qiyamah. So nobody can say, wait, we're living in America, we're in the 21st century, you know, Islam worked 1400 years ago and we are in a different time, and how can we deal with things? No, we tell them no. Islam covers this time and the time to come until the day of Yawm al-Qiyamah. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, وَكُلَّ شَيْءٍ فَصَّلْنَاهُ تَفْصِيلًا. Everything, we have emphasized it and explained it very clear. So that the path of Islam is clear. The path of Islam is a mercy. It's a mercy. The more you submit to it, the more you start to enjoy life. And the more you stay away from it, the more miserable you're going to be. This is the reality, brothers and sisters. You can see for yourself. Look at yourself when you were not a Muslim, and at the time after you embraced Islam and Allah put faith in your heart and you start really taking Islam sincerely, and see how you are now. Would you like to go back to what you used to be? No one want to go back, because they will never trade this religion for anything. And this religion, like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Rahman, it is the best thing that happened in one's life. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives this life to everybody. The one he likes and the one he doesn't like. He said, take. You want money, take money. You want wealth, you want whatever. But this religion or this guidance, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not give it to anyone except that the one he loves. If you are guided, Allah loves you. So it's important to know that the biggest bounty that you possess is Islam, is guidance. People nowadays crying for guidance. People nowadays, they lost the purpose of life. They don't know what they are created for. They don't know. They said, well, I'm created to play tennis, or I'm created to play football, or I'm created just to run around and waste my life. No. We can tell you from the Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say, we only created man and jinn to worship. To worship. And worship doesn't mean you have to be at the mosque praying all night and all day. No, worship, because every moment in your life requires certain duty to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you are at work, you must do an honest work and be a good worker. If you are a father, you have to be a good father. If you are sitting somewhere in time for salah, you have to get up and make prayer. So, in other words, this is the religion of Islam. And this is the most valuable thing in the face of the earth. And this is the information that is not from me and you. This is a divine revelation. This is information from Allah, the one who created you and created everything. So this information is not from this world. This is from the one who created this world. To go to it with an open mind and an open heart and use your mind, and you will find a light that has no end to it. You will just keep going in this light, because the more you read and the more that Allah opens your heart, the more you want to go on, and you'll see no end to this light. It's the Quran that will change the whole face of the earth into a world community. Because Islam is not about, you know, cut us this piece of land so we can build a country. We're not looking to establish a country. We are looking to establish a world community. A world community. We're not want to just kind of say Islam, I want it just to be in Africa, or I want it to be in Asia, or I want it to be here. No. We want to build a world community like the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and his companion built. You go from India to Africa to Europe to everywhere. It's all Islam. It's all Islam. And this is what we are trying to do. We're not trying to take revenge on people. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he was, like Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala said in the Quran, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. The example of his mercy, when he came to conquer Mecca, he has the power to shed the blood as high as he wants. And the people of Mecca looked at him, they said, it is up to you, whatever you want to do. And he said, you go on with your life free. Even though he has a strong army, and he is the commander chief, he can just with the sign of his finger, he just can tell him, kill everything, he will kill everything. And the Prophet ﷺ, he said that like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described him in the Quran, he was a mercy. So Muslim really try to forgive people. And Muslim try to follow the path of the Prophet ﷺ and his companion. We really don't want to destroy America. We want to build America. We have something to offer to America. It's Islam. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide America to Islam. And by the way, the fastest growing religion in America is here in America, is Islam. Because through the whole entire Europe, the people of America, they like Islam. And because they like Islam, they are the Islam here is the fastest growing religion. So we don't want to look at people, you know, and in a negative way. We have to open our mind and say, yes, since this nation is the fastest growing religion in it is Islam, we should really open our chest wider and we should open our minds. And we're trying to convey the message of Islam during these crises. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us to the straight path. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect Muslims everywhere. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect our brothers and sisters in Afghanistan. They have been tested severely. And you know, remember the hadith of Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a man will be tested according to the strength of his faith. The more your faith is strong, the test from Allah will be even stronger. So, it is the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't know. It looks bad to us that brothers and sisters have been bombed, but like my brothers preceded me, they said, Allah knows best that maybe more Muslims be coming and more strength we will get, inshallah, through this. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect our Muslim brothers in Afghanistan and in Kashmir and in Chechnya and in Sudan and in Somal and in Palestine and everywhere. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to destroy the oppressors, to destroy the tyrants, to destroy the injustice, and to unite us on La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Let's give everyone a round of applause. Let's give everyone a round of applause. Stick around. There's the microphone. Don't trample each other. You can walk right to the mic. Ask any of the panelists questions. We ask that you do not make a speech. You know how we do it. Sir, didn't you have a question? Gentlemen. Oh, we got more than, a little bit more than that. We got time. All praise.
As-salamu alaykum.
Yeah, wa alaykum salam.
Ashhadu la ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. I'm Brother Mahdi Leroy Thorpe. I'd like to ask any of the imams. Imam, I usually come out to the Ivy City Mosque on Sundays and we go out and do Dawah at Arthur Tapper. I ran into some information at the Ivy City Mosque recently where there's reports about Zionist Jews about 3 or 4 weeks ago were caught trying to destroy the Mexican Congress. They had grenades on them. They had automatic weapons. Do you know about that, or does any of the imams know about that, and they can share that with the viewing audience and the public?
I personally don't know.
I have no information about this at all.
Let me state this, that in response to your question, I do have a document that is being circulated tonight. It's called Zionist Terrorists Arrested Inside Mexican Congress. Mossad, which is Israeli intelligence. Mossad Colonel Salvador Garrison Smeki and Saul Benzivi were armed and carrying bomb materials. Can they receive, can the public get this document? So you have this tonight? I have a copy of it. It is not here tonight about the information that has been stated. It can be obtained at the Ivy City. Ma'am? I can't give you a full analysis of this because I haven't gone through it. But there is information out there. And I would say that if you would contact Imam Abdul Razak, that he will make this information available to you. What brother is essentially talking about is picking up on the theme that Imam Muhammad Asi picked up on, and how Israeli intelligence agents have been found to go around and commit acts of sabotage to blame it on the Muslims. And there's strong evidence that that's what happened in Kenya. We don't believe that Muslims would bomb Africans.
at the U.S. Embassy like that in Kenya. And there's strong evidence pointing that that was the Israeli Mossad that was responsible for that particular act. Next question.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. This question is for Imam Musa. And what I'd like to ask you is, can you give us a brief understanding of the significance of Jerusalem, inshallah?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Really, that's a key question and a very good question. When the Zionist was working along with the British and some help from the South Africans, the British had offered the Zionists the highlands of Kenya for a homeland, which the highlands of Kenya is cooler, is nicer. All the colonialists, they would rather live during the British colonial period in East Africa. Most Europeans lived in the highlands of Kenya, and very few of them you would find in the lowlands, like around Dar es Salaam and Tanzania and what have you. But they refused to take that for the main reason that for them, and I'll give the Islamic position, but for the Jews, it's location, location, location. You know, that's about business. When you look at Jerusalem, throughout history, every power, every conquering power throughout history winds up controlling Jerusalem, because it's the key to the world at that time and even today. If I was looking at a map of the Middle East, if I were to be in Jerusalem and I would walk from Africa and go to the left, I would go towards Europe. If I were to turn to the right, I would go toward Asia, right? And if I would make an about face, I would turn toward Africa. In other words, Jerusalem is the key to those, to Africa, to Asia, and to Europe. This has always been the case throughout so-called written history. But for Muslims, it's al-ul al-qiblatain, the first of the two qiblas. We prayed first toward Jerusalem. Then we later prayed toward Mecca. Also, that if we look at the layout, those people that want to control Uganda, not Kenya, as I know, they want to give the highlands of Uganda to the Zionists. I said Kenya. No, Uganda. Yeah, I meant Uganda, excuse me. Yeah, definitely. Well, at that time, it was all the British Empire, but I thought I said Uganda. Yeah, so it's the crux of the world is right there at Jerusalem. And so the Americans today, after British colonialism, placed this sore, this sickness, this cancer, right at the very spot that is the most detrimental place for that cancer to exist, the Zionist State of Israel, and right at those crossroads, the crossroads of the world, is right there.
Let's give him a round of applause. Prepare to take the next question. Want to acknowledge from New York City, we have one of the longtime freedom fighters for our people, Brother Morris Thutmose Powell, right here. New Black Panther Party, National Minister of Commerce. Also, about to ask her a question, a longtime freedom fighter for our people, an ally of Kwame Ture, Sister Asantewaa. Pleasure to see you. Your question, ma'am.
Good evening. Praise the Lord. Assalamu alaikum. My name is Asantewaa Nkrumah Ture, and as my brother just said, I am a longtime organizer and activist in the Pan-Africanist movement here in Washington, D.C. And Kwame Ture, formerly known by faith, Carmichael, is indeed my big brother. I'd like to first of all start by thanking those who organized this program, for organizing such a program. because more of these are needed for our people. And as you know, what Kwame Ture used to say all the time, that our people need constant political education. In this era of a lot of fascism, where we can't speak what we want and say what we want and meet with who we want to meet with, those things are being challenged, if not curtailed, even by our own African people and even some of our own Christian African people. I'm speaking as a Christian. So quickly, I'd like to say that I hope we can have more of these programs where we invite Christians on panels in the hood, in Ivy City, in Anacostia, in Shaw, and other places around, so we may meet more and more of our people so that they may challenge us. Because I've heard some very wild things coming from ordinary folks in the community about what's happened on September the 11th. And we need to face them honestly and humbly for what we know. And lastly, I like to say, speaking as a Christian, and my mother here, Marilyn Killingham, you know, I, as a Christian, I'm not afraid of two planes hitting a building in New York. I'm not afraid of that. What frightens me more is that if Jesus Christ, glory be to his name, and Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. were both to walk the earth today, neither one of them would be welcome in many, if not most, of our churches, given what has happened before and since September the 11th. And I think, my sister, that's something that we Christians need to deal with, because my brother here, the imam over here on the end, the brother, Imam Musa, this brother right here in the dark hat, as my brother here and I were saying, as the young people say, you off the hook and the line is still busy. You know what I'm saying? But I say that because that type of information we need to bring, and we need to have that kind of dialogue. But lastly, my brother here said something about this is a war against Islam. With all due respect, my brother, I agree with you. But for me as a Christian, it's more a war against Christianity, because things are being done in the name of Jesus Christ, in the name of God, that are not of God and that are not of Christ. And yet I am supposed to go along with it, and if I'm not, I'm not a good Christian. Okay, I think y'all get what I'm saying here. I think you're getting what I'm saying here, because if Dr. King were alive today, he would not go along with this madness. And if you look at his colleagues who were around, and Reverend Andrew Young, Reverend Jesse Jackson, Reverend Joseph Lowry, up and down the list, either they're quiet, either they're being very, very quiet, or they're saying very little, or they're endorsing all this madness. So that's something we need to think about. And I hope, again, I hope we can have a program like this in the hood. Thank you very much.
At the Nubian Eye, there is such a dialogue. It's on Kennedy Street. What's that address?
137
Kennedy Street. And I frequently go down on Wednesdays when I'm asked. And there is intimate dialogue at length. And I do want to share with you your courage to come forth. Christian women are not afraid, and we are the church. But I want you to know that I did mention early on that Bishop May did sponsor a retreat at the Renaissance Hotel called A Time to Heal. And that was 3 days, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. They let us have rooms for only $50 a night. And even though I thought the slant was slightly toward Israel, especially Friday night when we did the supper, but I felt that was an attempt for Christians to face up to what's going on. There was a man named Douglas Sands, who's at Simpson Hamline, who... Right, and he was just wonderful. There was another sister who did a session on healing also. So we did take some attempts to try to face up to that and have people. people live up to the social principles. Sadly enough, George Bush is a United Methodist. The social principles of the United Methodist Church do not permit the death penalty, and certainly is against this unjust war and this bullying that's going on. So he is truly not living up to the social principles of the United Methodist Church to which he ascribes.
Very, very quickly. Thank you.
What the sister was saying?
I wanted to say one thing.
Okay, sure.
The only thing I wanted to say on that, ma'am, is that we in the new Black Panther Party have been organizing forums like this on small scales and larger scales all across the country. We've been in Harlem, New York, Chicago. Brothers came in from Chicago who are here tonight. We've done them in Chicago. We do them in the neighborhood. But we understand that this also is a world issue, and this is the diplomatic capital. So we came here tonight to bring this message to the world. And Allah has blessed us to take this particular message to the world. So, and I want to add that it's further significant for us tonight about the dialogue and the interaction that has taken place amongst African and people of African descent and Arab descent and Muslims, but also non-Muslims. So I want to thank God for that.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. I didn't get the whole gist of what the sister was saying, but I just want to clarify one or two things. The first is like, we say that it's a war against Islam today because that's what it is. It is the Muslims that is challenging the status quo and challenging world powers. So those world powers are unified to fight against Islam. During the time of Dr. King, that was a different time. The Islamic movement worldwide was basically kind of dormant, still there, but kind of dormant. When Dr. King was alive, he was challenging the status quo. The FBI and his other organs treated him exactly the same way they're treating us. The FBI and the CIA, all of those, they bugged him. Look, J. Edgar Hoover told him after bugging him, you know what I mean, with ladies and what have you, said, if you don't commit suicide, right, we're going to play this to the public. And so the point, since I don't get the whole gist of everything, I just want to say that today the Zionists and the media and its sources, it's not a war against Christianity. They may use, they're trying to use Christians. But you got to remember, our whole family, everybody in our family, you know what I mean, who we get along with very well are still Christians generally. They want to use Christians to fight for Zionists. That's why they blow up, that's why they do all these things. They want the Christian America to fight on their behalf. The Jews, the Zionists are cowards. So they want to do these things, right, in the name of Islam so that the Christians around the world and others will fight on their behalf. So it is actually a war today against Islam and the Islamic movement worldwide.
President Richard Nixon in 1973, I believe, said the most dangerous threat to American national security is not the Soviet Union. He said it is fundamentalist Islam. So a very quick analysis on why the argument is put forth, a war on Islam. When you have a group of people, governments that are firmly committed to bowing down to God and God alone, and you have another force in the West that is determined to have the entire world under their sway, under their influence, politically and economically, that is what you call a clash of civilizations, and that is what is taking place today. They would like to control and subvert Islam to make the kind of Muslim that is appealing to them. And really, sometimes I think about it, and I believe that when they go back in the chambers of the National Security Council and the Pentagon, they point the blame at Osama bin Laden, but really they want to know, how do we stop Allah? How do we stop this guy, Allah, that everybody is pledging allegiance to, that seems to be causing us so much trouble? Imam told me the other day that because of the principles of Islam, which does not allow interest to the point of usury, that it is threatening the entire New World Order global economic scheme that Bush is trying to put into place, because you have a whole group of people, over billions of them, who do not believe in these principles of unjust interest and usury and so forth. So it's a clash of civilizations, sir.